And welcome once again to This Week in MCU, the weekly after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and with me, as always, is Senraven.
We're alive!
We live! Well, maybe those are bad choices of words. Today, we have a reason to do a show, and that reason is Black Panther Wakanda Forever. But before we jump into that, is there any news from around the MCU?
You know what? There probably is, but I actually didn't look up anything.
That's okay. I know that everybody's kind of pushing Quantumania now.
Yeah.
And it was funny. What the heck? It's our show. We can do what we want. Went to see Black Panther yesterday. And once again, and I think it's a Marvel thing, there were like, I don't know, 10 trailers, it seemed, before the movie.
There was a lot. My movie was supposed to start at 10:30. I think it started closer to 11.
Yeah,
of all the previews.
It was for me. It was a 3 p.m. showtime, and I like watching the trailers, so I wanted to make sure I got there on time. 3 p.m. showtime. The movie started at 3:35. So And here's the other weird part: 3 of the movies had Jonathan Majors in it.
Yes. Oh, the Creed one looks really good.
Creed does. Well, I really like that whole series. Look, I even like...
I have not watched the Creed movie. I forgot about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it, you know, haven't thought about it since it came out.
So you haven't watched any of them?
No, I haven't seen any of the Creed stuff.
Oh, they're really good. They're really good.
So I'm going to jump on that and start watching those.
The interesting thing about Creed 3... is it's directed by Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
So, but Jonathan Majors is in that. Jonathan Majors was in Quantumania, obviously, and in a movie I think was called Devotion, about, I don't know if he was the first, probably not the first, but a black combat pilot in an all-white troop.
Right.
Was that him?
Because it doesn't look like him in the preview.
It took me off a couple of times, but then there were a couple of scenes I went, oh, it's absolutely him.
Yeah, it looks a little weird.
So, yeah, it was odd. I'm just going, man, Jonathan Majors is having a great year.
Yeah.
So,
Here's something that came up that I remember from the news from last week, or a couple of last weeks. Aubrey Plaza joining MCU.
Do we know how or who?
She's going to be on the Agatha show.
Oh, right. I did read that.
Which also got a name change. It's Agatha Coven of Chaos now.
What was it before? Whatever. It was...
I don't remember what it was before, but they changed it to Coven of Chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... God, what was it? Something, was it supposed to be? House of Harkness, it was supposed to be.
Yes, that's it.
Right, House of Harkness. Yeah. And Coven of Chaos, which I like better, frankly, because it leaves it open to have more characters.
Right.
And Aubrey Plaza does not have a character name yet. Nope. But she's in the first episode. So hopefully I think she'd be great. And playing up against Catherine Hahn
would
be fun as hell. So, yeah. So let's see. Any other notable trailers? There was the Strange World trailer from Disney, which they've been pushing hard.
Yeah.
Which looks interesting.
Yeah.
Looks fine.
I got the Avatar trailer.
I got the Avatar trailer as well. And that's only coming out in about a month.
Right.
And
I mean, the water bending is going to be fun.
So, fair enough. So the first Avatar movie, I have a mostly love relationship with. There's a little hate there, but mostly love, because it was such a spectacle. The 3D effects were just nothing I had ever seen before in terms of how good they were. And like to the point where I went to IMAX like 5 times to watch it in 3D with and I would bring people with me. This movie, I am very concerned that it's not going to have the same impact.
Okay.
So, because look, the first movie from a story standpoint, it's just Pocahontas. That's all it is. It's nothing new, nothing original. It was wrapped up in a pretty wrapper. So, yeah. So, and then I'm trying to think if there were any other trailers that jumped out at me. I don't think so.
No.
Certainly nothing we haven't seen already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creed 3 I hadn't seen. And that was about it. But
I've seen that preview like twice now, or maybe like 3 times now or something, but fairly recent, right?
Yeah.
And it like I said, it just made me go, "Oh, I should watch the other ones."
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good series.
I might actually have to go see it in this one in the theater if I manage to catch up, because the boxing movies were always fun to watch on the big screen.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, why don't we go ahead and jump into this? So if you are tuning in live or listening to it on the podcast, understand that we are going to be talking spoilers. There's just no way around it. Or we don't want to make a way around it, frankly. but we're going to be spoiling things. So go watch the movie, come back, listen. But that's where we're at right now. So, Wakanda Forever. I will tell you, one of the things I was really happy about was that they started out with the funeral.
Yeah.
And they started out basically saying that T'Challa had a sickness. He couldn't be healed because the heart-shaped herb is destroyed because of Killmonger. And Shuri was trying to synthesize a copy. And she just wasn't in time. The one that she had synthesized had only gotten to 30% or 29%.
Yeah, 29.
And it wasn't even going to necessarily work. But she had printed it out, because that's what you do in Wakanda, and went to rush it to T'Challa, and Ramonda came and said, yeah, he's with his ancestors now. I will also say I thought the very nice touch was they didn't go into what the illness was. They didn't dwell on it. They just, they were very respectful of the whole thing.
Yeah, and the way she handles it too, like I can completely see it, right? Like she's the scientist. She's like, she jumped into her work. She's trying to do everything she can, you know, to push this as fast as possible, to the point that the AI says, maybe you should go be with your brother. Right. And she says, no, do your job. And, you know, so she misses his last moments.
Right. So, and that is but a touch of the grief that is to come for her.
This movie is heavy.
Yeah, if you're going into this thinking that there's there are moments of lightheartedness, but it's not a light movie by any stretch. It's a heavy movie.
This isn't Batman.
No.
But no. Like nothing in MCU goes completely no joy, because then you're DC.
Right. But it's heavy. It's heavy in a different way than Batman would be, though, right? Batman's absolutely just dark.
Yes.
And Wakanda Forever
This is a very heavy subject for a lot of people. Yeah. It's a lot of dealing with grief and dealing with loss and how you get over it and how to move on. And that is a hard thing to do and a very hard subject to tackle.
And that's kind of the whole point of the movie.
Yeah.
It really is, right? I mean, So so after we learn that he has passed, they flip over to the Marvel Studios logo, where they show scenes from all the different movies, and they what I call the Marvel flip. and it's all replaced with Black Panther imagery.
And no sound.
And no sound. That's the other thing about this movie. There were like three times where they used silence. And, yeah. And by silence, we mean normally they'll put a score underneath it while not having any vocal sound or any ambient sound. It was silence, like no music, nothing, and so effective, and nobody does that. So
yeah, the entire theater, as soon as the flip card, like some people were talking still, a little bit mumbling here and there. As soon as the flips went through, everybody, like the entire theater was just completely dead silent.
That was really the other thing.
Yeah.
In our theater, the three times that there was silence, the movie theater was silent. Like it was really stark and surprising. So so we get past the Marvel flip and we see that it's 1 year later. Now, only because this is where my mind goes. What I need to know is, when did this take place to begin with? Because
when did for MCU timeline?
Yeah, because we're already in 2024.
2020, I think 2024, 25 was when they come back from the blip.
No, they came back. I think it was 2024.
I think it's 24. So this puts it in 2025.
You think so?
Because it basically...
because it was after the fight. Because it was definitely after the fight. So, yeah. 2025. Okay, so that... Okay, so the weird part is that means the Wakanda Namor stuff... I don't know if it's caught up with everything or if everything's behind now. It's just...
The MCU timeline right now is completely fractured all over the place.
It's really weird, right?
I mean, because we don't know where to put anything.
Right. So what will probably happen, because I think it has to, is that when we get the next big movie, everything gets caught up to Wakanda. It kind of has
probably.
To.
Probably.
Right? I mean, it has to. But so... Say how it's 1 year later, and again, I did not try to break this down. My thoughts are going to be a little bit all over the place on this, but it's 1 year later. Shuri's still working. It's time for the ceremony, I guess, to kind of burn the garments from the funeral service to kind of let it go. And mom is basically saying, okay, you come with me and but you're going to leave your beads behind. No tech. And they go and they sit on a beach and they have a discussion and talk about burning their clothing from the funeral service. Ramonda does, she puts it on the fire. Shuri does not, and she doesn't get a chance to, because what we have found out, I think it happened before this, is that somebody in the United States has been working on a vibranium detection machine, and there's one in the bottom of the ocean, and... who we find out later is Namor, finds it. And is like saying, yeah, so, hey, just wanted to let you guys know we're not doing this. So Namor shows up on the beach and says, hey.
Completely bypassing all the external defenses of Wakanda.
Right. And the other weird part is that from what we can tell based on the geography that we know, he would have had to have swum about 100 kilometers down a river from the ocean.
Yeah.
To get to Wakanda, because Wakanda is inland. It's not a coastal city. And so that's kind of the only way. That we could have figured that out. But he makes comments like, oh my God, the air here is amazing and the water is great. And he says, so here's the deal. You can't tell anybody about me outside of Wakanda. And you got to stop them from this vibranium detector. Because apparently they have access to vibranium as well.
Yep. You know, bring me the scientists and Wakanda is safe.
Right. So nobody knows who the scientist is yet. And so Ramonda is like going, oh yeah, and he says, and here's this vibranium shell. Use it to call me when you have information. So he takes off again. He's looking great. You know, I have no issue with the character.
I really like the design. Like,
yeah,
I really like design.
I think it's really interesting.
The comic book design for him is boring.
Well, and they you know, look, the Namor even origin is very close to Aquaman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and so they made a change to make him more. Was it Mayan descent?
Yes,
and
Incan Mayan.
Yeah, and I think that was a really cool idea. I think it was really well done. Look, and the other thing that we learn in this, the cat's out of the bag. You know, he basically says that he literally uses the words "I'm a mutant."
Oh yeah.
And he tells the story of his birth and everything.
The backstory on it was really cool to watch.
It was
like I don't remember. Like I think I may maybe read his origin story once in the comics a long time ago.
Right.
I don't remember what it is. Yeah. I don't remember being, you know, interested in it. This right. is a much better one because this will be remembered.
Right. And he mentions that his people call him, I'm going to mess up the name, I think, Kukulkan.
Kukulkan.
Kukulkan. And
the feathered serpent.
Yep.
Which is, if I remember correctly, the same as... Well, because there's two, you know, there's different sections of it, but another one that's, oh no, never mind. I'm gonna drop the line because I'm gonna butcher the other one. It's the feathered serpent that starts with a Q.
Oh yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, never mind.
Yeah. So and so his people treat him like a god, and. That's why they call him that. And one of the interesting things was that, you know, we've had a lot of god-like entities within the MCU. All of the Eternals, you know. We've got Moon Knight and Khonshu. We've got Bast through Black Panther.
All of those guardians,
right? All of the Asgardians, right? I wasn't even thinking about Thor. That's right. So weird. Like it's Thor, been so normalized. I
mean, they might not be gods, but you know they were considered gods,
right? So they're still leaning hard into that kind of thing, which is interesting. Certainly makes for an interesting backstory. Certainly for Namor. And so one of the things they did give him, and we saw in the trailer, was the wings on the feet that allow him to fly. I was not expecting that. I honestly thought if they were going to cut one thing, it would be that, and maybe give him some boots with a wing insignia on it or something like that. They straight up did that. And they straight up just said, nope, he's got wings on his feet. He can fly. It's like, all right, cool. I got no problem with it. And they made it work. They made it work.
It is his mutant thing.
Yeah. Well, then he can breathe outside. You know,
he can breathe underwater and outside the water.
Right. So
super fast for swimming.
Right. So the other thing that I thought was really interesting is they did a great job of all the other. What do we call them? Tolokians?
I think so.
Tolokianese? I don't remember. But because they called their undersea country, world, Talokan.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? So they give them all breathing apparatus when they're on land. So their nose and mouths are covered with what appears to be water masks instead of air masks. That allows them to breathe while they're outside of the water. We see two pretty well-known... I have to stop myself from calling them Atlanteans because we're so used to that with Namor. But heck, there was a big old crossover called Atlantis Attacks back in the 90s. So,
which this still allows them to bring Atlantis in.
They could. They absolutely could. It could just be a city within that.
With either within that or a completely different nation. Like if they decided we want to do something else, they could do Atlantis with something else.
Right. And so,
just not with Namor.
Right. So the two major characters that we see from Namor are Atuma, which is interesting in that Atuma in the comics was always an enemy of Namor. And again, in the comics, he's known to be, you know, he's quote unquote prophesied to be the conqueror of the Atlantean Empire. Now, I don't know whatever they're going to do with that, but if anything. So there was that, and he was great, except they appeared to use him just as muscle.
Yeah.
Really. It was no big deal. And...
he was the heavy.
He was the heavy. And the other one that they gave was that they brought in was, and I wasn't expecting this either, was Namora.
Yeah.
And Namora is supposed to be the cousin of Namor. And also the offspring of a human and a Talokian or Atlantean. And when they first brought her in, I was like, okay, oh wait, this isn't Namorita. Because that was the one that's going to end up being a young Avenger, probably. But they didn't even mention her at all, which is fine. But they were basically just, kind of like his go-to folks at this point. So I thought that was really good. They did some neat things with how they use water. I thought one of the things that was really cool was that concept of water grenades.
That was very interesting.
Right? When they just used it all over the place, and it was almost like these grenades had compressed water or something. So when they exploded with a massive force, releasing all the water.
Yeah.
So let's see. So back to the Ramonda trying to find the scientist thing. So she goes and addresses the UN. And the UN is basically going to start giving her a dressing down. We see Richard Schiff, who is...
which was so cool to see Richard Schiff.
It really was. He's great. And he's now the Secretary of State for the U.S., I believe.
It sounds like it.
And he's there and he's saying, hey, we're very concerned because, you know... T'Challa said that he was going to share resources, and so far we've seen Bupkis. And Queen Ramonda says, we have always protected vibranium, and we've always said that no vibranium shall leave Wakanda. And the French ambassador is also like there just, you know, talking about, yeah, you guys are supposed to be sharing. And Ramonda basically says, oh, yeah, so, hey, to all that, we found like these eight guys that came in trying to steal our tech.
Here's the 8 mercenaries that attacked us. By you're welcome for not killing them.
And then she speaks to them in French, just to kind of show up the French ambassador. And she basically says, yeah, so just to show you how gracious we are, we're returning these people to you. and really embarrassed the UN.
On a side note, also a spoiler for those that are playing God of War, the new one, Ragnarok, spoiler, Richard Schiff is the voice of Odin.
Oh, is he really? That's awesome.
Yeah, one of my friends was streaming it the other day and came onto the scene where Odin shows up and starts talking. I'm like, oh my God, that's Richard Schiff. and I was watching it Thursday night, right when I got back from the movie.
Yep.
So I'm like, wait a minute, he's in Wakanda, and so he's doing all this work now.
That's
which
funny.
Is great. I love seeing him.
Yeah, he's and great.
To me, his voice is so recognizable just because of West Wing.
West Wing, yeah. I mean, Toby like Ziegler.
Completely.
Yeah,
Toby Ziegler.
Yeah.
So as soon as Odin showed up on screen, I'm like, that's Toby Ziegler.
Yep. So one of the things that came out of the UN thing was we meet up with, I don't remember his first name, but Ross.
Yeah.
And Ross was in Wakanda. They saved him. You know, they healed him up. And so he's got some loyalty to them. And so, like, Shuri had dropped her bracelet on the ground. He picked it up so that nobody else would pick it up and get it and all that.
Everett Ross.
Everett Ross. Yep. And I'm going to mix up the timeline a little bit because I couldn't write stuff down. I didn't want to write stuff down when I was watching the movie.
Sure.
But a character showed up that I was not expecting in the least. I was amazed.
Oh, Val?
Yes.
So, yes.
The Contessa Valentina de la Fontaine. she shows up. And I'm going, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, I didn't expect that either.
Well, and then they dropped the other bombshell that I also wasn't expecting. She used to be married to Ross.
that was a nice little touch.
It's like, what's going on? And she's Ross's boss at
right,
this
so
point.
She's in charge of...
is it the CIA?
I don't know. It sounded like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think
but
she's
like,
in charge of the CIA.
They didn't specifically say what it was, but I guess that's what it is.
Right. So
she moved up in the world.
She moved up. and clearly, was this her first jump? Well,
to the movies.
Black Widow she was in. She was in the stinger for Black Widow. Because remember, she was
recruiting. Oh, right, because she's the one that directed. Yeah. She's the one that told Yelena... Basically,
kill Hawkeye.
Go kill Hawkeye. That didn't work out well.
Nope. So, and it's clear that she's going to be involved in setting up Thunderbolts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, so it's it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out. She was in the movie a few times, and no stinger with her or anything like that. So, but throughout this whole movie, we're still dealing with Shuri's grief, right? It's just never ending. And so that every scene that Shuri is in, there's just that tinge of just grief underlying everything. But When we move on from there, we find Shuri tracks down the scientist that is making the vibranium detection, and she ends up at MIT like you do, you know, because MIT, and find out that so
Io, is it Io? No, it was the general of the female warriors.
I thought that was Okoye. Oh.
Yeah, Okoye. Why
yeah,
did I block
yeah, that? Yeah.
Because Okoye goes with her.
With Shuri. Yeah.
But she talks the queen into letting Shuri go because the queen didn't want her going out in the field.
Oh, and that's another thing. If you like Okoye, this is the movie for you.
Oh, absolutely.
She is amazing in this movie. I love her. Like, I liked her character before. I love her character now. She's just amazing.
Same goes for M'Baku.
Oh, way better in this movie too. Yeah,
much M'Baku's better than great. The first movie. they got a lot of development on a bunch of side characters, which was really cool to see.
You know, M'Baku actually added a little bit of lightheartedness.
Yes.
To the movie. He comes into a room chomping on a carrot or whatever that was.
It was a carrot. It was really weird.
Right. Well, and that's because I think it was a throwback to the last movie.
Because they're vegetarians.
Right, because they're vegetarians. Right. So they find Riri Williams at MIT. And she's doing this vibranium detector on the side. And apparently it looks like she's doing other government work on the side.
Well, no, she did it. It sounded like she didn't know that it was being used by the government.
That's true, because she was doing it for her teacher.
She did it for a project, and her teacher said that there was no way she would be able to do it. So she did it because basically, you know, somebody said you can't. So she did. You know, very much Tony Stark,
right?
Yes, and I'm guessing that she put it in as her project, and the teacher went, "Oh, here you go, sold it to the government."
Yeah, you get an A. I'm selling this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she made it for the school, and the school sold it.
Right, right.
Which is MIT.
Right, right. And she didn't know, is what it looked
right.
like.
She didn't know that her work got sold, but you made it for the school. The school sold it. Right. Happens all the time, as far as I know.
Right. So they basically, Okoye and Shuri are like, yeah, we got to take you back to Wakanda and keep you safe. All right, cool. Except that doesn't happen.
Yep.
That's when they get attacked on the bridge by...
Well, they get chased by the cops first. Because they come to pick her up. She says, I got to go get stuff from my lab. They go to the lab, which is the garage.
Oh, right, which is the garage, and right.
And then the cops get synced on her, which is a really idiotic idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get that scene later of Ross talking to them and like the crown princess of Wakanda and her and the general of their army, and you decided to try to arrest them.
Right.
That was dumb. But they get chased by the cops. The whole thing ends on the bridge, and then they get attacked by Namor's people, which is also didn't make any sense because he came to ask him to bring him the scientist.
Right.
They have the scientist. Why are you attacking us before, you know, even a chance of handing her over to you?
Right.
Now it completely directs, like if this was me in that situation, right? If you came to me and said, hey, bring me the scientist or we attack you, and I have the scientist with me and then you attack me. Well, I would be sending all of Wakanda army to, well, they don't know where they are at this point.
Right, right.
But that's basically like, you asked me to do this, I'm doing this, but you're attacking me in the middle of it. And then they wind up kidnapping the princess.
Right.
She goes with her, that it's her choice to go.
Yeah.
But to the queen, it looks like you just kidnapped the princess while you're asking me to bring you the scientist.
Right.
That whole section... was probably the weakest of the movie.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Because it didn't make sense.
Right. Well, it was all, obviously, it was all a vehicle to get Shuri to...
Sure. But it could have been handled differently because they would have brought Riri to Wakanda, which happens anyway.
Right.
And at that point, you know, there's you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that section was a little too convoluted.
And this is where Okoye ends up having to go back home.
Yeah.
And explain to Queen Ramonda how, well, lost Shuri.
And a little bit of overreaction from the queen.
Well, look, she's grieving too.
She definitely. Right?
And so she has lost another kid from her perspective, right? And so so Okoye, for all intents and purposes, gets fired from the Dora Milaje.
Yep.
And so she walks away. Then we get the basic imprisonment of Shuri and Riri. And there's some interesting talks with between Namor and Shuri. And they you know, and it almost feels like, oh, there could be an alliance here. And then they get rescued. And that alliance goes out the window.
Well, and they get rescued by Nakia.
Right.
Who the queen had to go find in Haiti because she's gone.
Right.
She left when the snap happened.
And in fact, Nakia didn't show up for the end game fight. She didn't show up for the funeral. We find out why later. But but she wasn't there. And so Ramonda is like, she was kind of disappointed. Particularly,
I think
that
she understood.
But she understood. Yeah.
She also knew why.
She also knew why. Exactly. Which again we find out later. So so basically she goes to Nakia though and says, "Hey, so yeah, remember that you were a war dog and you were out there doing, you know, spying and stuff?
You're a spy and you infiltrate things?
Yeah.
Go find my daughter."
Yeah, go find my daughter. And so by God she does.
She's good at what she does.
She's really good at what she does. She made her way underwater and found the place and rescued them. Got them out of there. So they're back. They're back in Wakanda, finally.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, she rescued them, but she killed the two guards.
She did.
Which is, I think, that's more of a push. Like, if that didn't happen, I don't think the reaction would be the way it was.
That's
so it
probably
had to
true.
Be done.
That's probably true.
Like we don't know what it would be if she didn't kill him, because that's not how the movie was written.
Right.
But for the movie, she kills the two guards, and that causes the whatever the country's called to attack Wakanda.
Yeah, yeah. So this all comes back to or culminates in Namor attacking the surface dwellers. Yeah, we get a giant fight, water versus Wakanda, and it's ugly. It just there's major losses on both sides, and I think what is it during this section where Shuri starts working again on the leaf.
Yeah, because they're back in Wakanda, and she has Riri start working on stuff. That's when we see Riri start making the suit,
right?
Which, you know, shows up later in the movie. It looks really interesting. It feels like I saw it and it felt like this is version one, isn't it? It's got the big shoulders and everything.
Well, I mean, the one that she originally flew out of there with was definitely version one.
That one was like the one that she flew out of
the garage
in Boston.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Boston out of the garage was like an exoskeleton.
Right.
With a Stark reactor on its chest.
Right.
Like, right. Where did you find a Stark reactor? Because it was a diamond, you know, it was the triangle Stark reactor.
Yep.
So she, you know, she's working on the suit. Riri's working on the suit. Shuri's working on making a new flower. But at the same time, Because she's doing the flower and she's working. She put the DNA of T'Challa's DNA back up.
Yep. So I have, I actually have a little bit of a theory of the Stark reactor thing.
Yeah.
And that is, if you remember in Iron Man 3, Stark addressed MIT. All of your projects are funded.
Right.
He basically funded everybody's projects. And I wonder, maybe Riri was a freshman?
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, so, or maybe she wasn't, but maybe she lived through the snap, and when the snap came back, she was able to do her project. So regardless, she's in Wakanda, and she's starting to work on her suit. We get Shuri kind of perfecting. Oh, that's what it is. She was in Talokan if I'm messing up that name, I apologize. But when she was in Talokan with Namor, Namor gave her a friendship bracelet.
Right.
And
which is what his mother made.
Which his mother made from fibers that were growing in vibranium rich soil. Shuri took some fibers off of that bracelet to see if there was any DNA or something that could be used in resynthesizing the heart-shaped herb, and she was successful.
Took a while.
Did take a while, but she was successful.
Yeah.
That all culminates in there's talk about there's no Black Panther anymore. What's going on? And Shuri has a Black Panther suit made, or she makes it, and she takes this synthetic heart-shaped herb. And when you take the heart-shaped herb, you visit the ancestral plane.
If it works.
Fair enough.
Which she did for her, of course.
Right. And in the ancestral plane, oh, we also forgot about the Ramonda thing. So during the
attack, we kind of rolled right. Past
yeah, we're it. We're jumping all over the place, and again, I apologize. But before all this happens, Atlantis attacks or Talokan attacks. They basically have been attacking Wakanda badly. Riri falls in the water, and she is pulled under. Ramonda goes down to save her. And grabs her, gets her to the surface, does in fact save her, but drowns in the process. So Ramonda is dead. She's just dead. Shuri sees this. And so Shuri is, again, already grief-stricken. Now she's lost her mom. So she, in her mind, has nobody left. And so she starts working on this heart-shaped herb thing. She takes the herb once she has successfully synthesized it, and she drinks the potion thing, visits the ancestral plane, and is expecting to see her mom, I'm sure.
Or her brother,
right?
I think everybody was in the theater was probably expecting to see both.
Yeah.
Get the queen to show up again.
Right.
And a glimpse of T'Challa. Probably just like a shot without any lines.
Right. Yep.
No. That doesn't happen.
She sees Killmonger.
Which was great. I love that they got Michael B. Jordan to come in for this.
Which was great. He basically says, so, hey,
hey, little cuz.
Yeah. And they argue a little bit, and she comes out of it feeling like, you know what? Vengeance is mine. I'm now pissed. And heads off loaded for bear and goes to and has a massive fight with Namor.
Well, so they actually figure out, her and Riri kind of figure out how his power works.
Right.
Because
right.
He converts the water and the moisture in the air to power him.
Right.
So they trap him. They basically...
They beat him.
Because it's not a teleporter. it's not a teleporter. It's a tractor beam.
Right.
They tractor beam him onto the ship, and they stick him in a heat box.
Oh, right, right, on the ship.
Yeah, on the ship. So he starts drying out, which is causing him to lose his power. But he still has his... his vibranium spear with him, so he just stabs the ship
until it breaks.
Damn it.
Right.
Yeah, he just broke the ship.
Yep. And so they beach him, and
so they wind up on the beach and have their fight, right. And then he runs Shuri through with his spear.
Yes,
which is brutal.
Yep. And
as he's walking, he's like, I'm done with this fight. And she pulls herself. She breaks the tip off, which is what you would have to do because it's impaled in a rock. It's right. Through her and impaled in the rock. And she pulls herself off the spear.
A nice
that
little
is some
touch.
Serious, yeah, some seriously good determination there.
Right. And a nice little touch was, I don't know if you noticed, the suit. Repaired itself behind her.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, the suit did, but she didn't.
No, but she did not. Namor's trying to get to the water because he knows. Yep. He knows, and he's like, it was a good fight. Like he's pretty well beaten up a bit too.
Yeah, she clips his one of his wings in during the fight. She cut off one of the little foot wings,
which made me immediately ask, are those going to grow back?
No, they're gonna have to do something.
Yeah.
I don't remember if later in the last scene if we see them grown back. Or
I don't
not.
Remember. Yeah.
I didn't notice, but that looked that was brutal. But yeah, so he impales her and starts walking towards the water, and she jumps back over, like she gets back in the fight.
Yep. And she
and then she blows up the ship.
Yeah. And she finally gets him on the ground, has a spear to his neck, and she starts because she's ready to kill him. She's just ready to kill him, and then sees visions of her mom, and her mom says, "Show him who you really are," and she offers him. Mercy, basically, and says, all right, so here's the thing. We won't mess with you. You don't mess with us, but you guys take off. You leave. And Namor says, yeah.
She also said, we'll protect your secret.
Right. We'll protect your secret. You protect ours, whatever, you know, whatever. There's an uneasy alliance there.
Yeah. Right?
Namor calls off everybody. They all go home, and in fact, I think it was Atuma asks Namor later and about like, you know, what's going on? Why wouldn't we just destroy them? And he's like, at some point, the surface world is going to come for us.
Oh, that was Namora. Namora goes to him and goes,
right.
You know, well, what happened? And he basically, I don't know if that was his plan, but he plays it off basically. I allowed her to beat me. You know,
yeah.
to take this, to get this alliance, because the surface world is going to come for Wakanda. They're going to have to call on us,
right,
to come help them. So he's definitely spinning to his advantage.
Yeah,
there was a great scene of M'Baku talking with Shuri about like why not kill him if
right,
you know. His people perceive him as a living god. So if you kill him, you galvanize the entire nation into a forever war.
Right. Right.
So how much of that plays into her not killing Namor on the beach versus just her mom showing up? And we get this great sequence of cuts of T'Challa through different.
Right.
Oh, was that later?
No, that was later when she's sitting on the
beach. That was later.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's a good spin. Like, she could have killed him. It would lead to a forever war between the two nations.
Right.
He lost. He knows he lost. And he's spinning it to, this is definitely in our advantage, which right. It will be.
Which it will be. Absolutely. So everybody gets called off. Everybody's mending their own, you know, people and whatnot. So then we bring it back more personal to Shuri, because mom is still dead.
Yeah.
Right? So Shuri's sitting on the beach.
Well, we're getting the ceremony.
Right.
Like in the first movie for the king, for the crowning, right?
Right.
And
right.
So everybody's gathered on the cliffs, but Shuri's not there, and Baku shows up instead.
Yeah.
And he says, I want a challenge for the throne.
Right.
And Shuri's not there to contest him. And they cut over to her in Haiti, going to meet up with Nakia. And Nakia's like, I'm, you know, everything's set. I'll be right there. And Shuri goes, I think I got to do this by myself. Goes to the beach.
Yep.
She
burns her funeral clothing.
Funeral robes. And sits down. And that's when we get the
flashbacks.
And all it's the silent. Flashbacks, yeah, completely no sound. All the flashbacks of T'Challa, beautifully done.
Yeah, that's the other thing. This movie was gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whole thing was just beautifully shot, just above and beyond. Like, I'm not sure I've seen a better looking Marvel movie. And that might be just the freshness of it for me, but it's just gorgeous. You know, the Eternals was gorgeous too.
Eternals was very pretty. I would say for me, sections of Shang-Chi. Sections of Shang-Chi were definitely much more striking, especially when they go into the other realm.
Yes.
When you start getting all the mythical creatures that are there.
Yep.
That for me, that was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah, fair
but
enough.
But this one's just, overall, it's very pretty. All the stuff for Talokan. Underwater is beautifully done.
Yep.
Every time they go to Wakanda, the light changes. You can see, if you're paying attention to the cinematography of it, the lighting changes completely between when they're in the States to when they're in Wakanda.
Yeah.
To when they're, well, in Talokan, it's, you know, he's
all
got
underwater.
Synthetic. He made a synthetic sun for his people.
Right.
He is the light bringer for and the living god for Talokan.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So Shuri's sitting on, and she's, you know, and that actress did an amazing job. And look, it's probably easier to tap into the grief when your co-star, who probably became a friend of yours, where you're grieving him as much as you are the character.
Yeah.
So it was a very touching scene. It was very cool. And
that was the end of the movie.
That really was the end of the movie.
It ends with her on the beach.
Right.
Having that moment.
Right.
And so it leads to, if we have the third one, and Baku is going to be the king of Wakanda.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Which is fine. Yeah, it's really cool.
For this M'Baku, if this was a comic book M'Baku, it would never go. Right. It would never happen.
Right.
But for this M'Baku, this was great. So, but that's the end of the movie. The credits start rolling.
And then
we get the mid-credit scene.
Right. And there's only one. So if people are wondering, there's only one. You know, don't do what I did and wait until the very, very end after all the credits. There's nothing.
I checked before the movie.
Yeah, I didn't. So the mid-credit scene is where Shuri's still on the beach. Then Nakia shows up.
They have a little chat.
She
asks her why she didn't show up for the funeral.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, she gives her reasons, and then she says, I'd like you to meet somebody. And her son shows up.
His name is Toussaint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
and her Naki son introduces her with, "This is my son. This is your aunt."
Yeah, this is your auntie, and
this is your auntie Shuri.
And Shuri's like, "Oh, what?" And then the kid, who is cute as can possibly be, holy crap! Right? So the kid, I don't remember what prompted it, but she says, "So your name is Toussaint. That's a great name." And the kid goes, "No, I am."
Well, no, he says, "Your name is cool too, I guess."
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then he says, "Toussaint is my Haitian name."
Yes, my Haitian name.
Yeah, my Haitian name.
Yeah.
And she asks him what his real name is, and he says, "My name is Prince T'Challa,
son of
King T'Challa." And like, damn.
Oh boy. Which again, because of who I am, I immediately went, how long until Young Avengers? Like, can we get him going? Because, well, so here's the thing. From a comic book standpoint, there is an alternate Earth where the son of the Black Panther. So there was a series of comics. I think there was also a video called The Next Avengers.
Okay.
And it was the offspring of all the current Avengers.
Oh, okay.
So Steve Rogers' kid, you know, Thor's kid, you know, was Tony Stark's kid. And one of them was Black Panther's kid.
That's cool.
And so, with the multiverse of madness, anything is possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But kids got to grow up a little bit. And the way they dealt with that in the comics is, he didn't have to take the heart-shaped herb because his father was already imbued with it. He was born with that.
With that power. That's nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to do something like that for the movie.
Yeah.
Have him actually as a mutant.
Right.
On the level of Namor.
Right. Right. That was the other thing. Before we kind of wrap things up, one thing that they mentioned in the movie was that Namor is as strong as Thor, but in the water he might be as strong as the Hulk.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it goes for DCU as well.
Yeah.
Because Aquaman can easily hold his own against Superman. They even have a comic run. Right. One of the panels, he actually cuts Superman with his trident.
Right, right. So
it's the same here. It is the power of the vibranium, of the ancestral plane. Which is another scene we skipped over. The end of the fight between Shuri and Namor, when she sees her mom, we get cuts of basically like her Shuri with her mom, Namor with his mom. You get
right. They intersperse. Yeah.
Yeah. Completely mirroring that you're the same people. You're just different approach to things. Yeah.
Right. I love this movie. But in a very different way than the other movies. I would have a really hard time ranking this one because
I think it's completely different.
It's completely different. And like, I really love Thor Ragnarok, for example.
Yeah.
But how can I compare it to this? Like, it's just, they're so tonally different that I would have a really hard time with it.
I think for something like the previous set of movies where everything was, hey, this is the goal that we're going for, right? The dealing with the stones and everything. You can kind of rank them together and be like, okay, this one's better than this one, and this, or even like Spider-Man stuff, because they're self-contained.
Right.
This isn't dealing with, hey, we got to fight Thanos or something else. This is completely different subject matter. It just happens to be an MCU movie with having to fight a big bad guy. This is more of a, how do you deal with grief and loss and moving on?
Right.
At the same time, hey, there's a superpower mutant that's trying to, you know, kill everything.
Yeah, and I will say, from the grief and loss end of things, this movie came very close to breaking me in the theater.
Oh yeah, yeah, same.
And well, same. And it has to do with, you know, look, over the last 6 years, I've lost both my folks. My grandmother passed away just recently. There's been plenty of loss to be had. So it was really tough to watch this movie. So it hit me in the places that it was supposed to hit me. So this movie I thought was fantastic. I'd be really amazed if it doesn't get some sort of a nomination for cinematography things.
It likely will. It's especially because it's close to the end of the year. It's not a December film.
Right, right.
Because December is like, hey, it's either going to be a kid's Christmas movie or right. This is what we still have left, put it out. Right. That's usually December.
So the other thing is, I would normally just say, yeah, I think other than some technical stuff, it's not going to get a nomination. But man, Angela Bassett might.
Oh, she was great.
She was so good, and she might get like best supporting. It was so good. The other thing that we kind of didn't wrap up was Everett Ross got arrested.
Yes,
they were bringing him to jail, and Okoye in her new Midnight Angel armor.
Oh my God, that name is terrible.
It really is.
That's what we skipped over. Shuri made suits for
the Dora Milaje. Yeah.
Yeah, for at least two of them.
Yeah.
And she called it the Midnight Angel, and Okoye hates the name, yep. As do I.
Yep, it's a terrible name. but the suits are really cool, but she breaks Everett out of custody.
Yeah.
And bringing him back to Wakanda.
So Val completely played Everett. She completely played Ross.
Yep.
She bugged the beads that he found on the bridge that he thought got dropped. Well, they got dropped by Shuri, but he didn't think anybody saw them.
Right.
Val, of course, finds them and found them first. She had them bugged, so she was tracking all his conversations that he was having with Wakandans.
Yep.
So he got arrested for, I guess it would be treason and espionage.
Yeah.
And Okoye breaks him out, and it's a great line of not oppressor, not conqueror. What are they calling?
Colonizer.
Colonizer. Yeah. Colonizer. Colonizer in chains. Now I've seen everything.
Yep. And you know, and Martin Freeman's had this bit part for a number of movies now.
Yeah.
And this is, he's great. What,
third?
Either third
or fourth.
Maybe. And didn't he show up in one of the TV shows too? Wasn't he?
I think so.
Didn't he show up in WandaVision a little bit?
I don't remember. But, I honestly don't remember if he showed up in WandaVision.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Because it started in Civil War.
Yep.
And then Wakanda, or the first Black Panther right. movie, and not this one.
Right.
It's still one of my favorite jokes for Black Panther. It was him and Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
And they were the two white guys
yep.
In the movie, and they were basically the two Tolkien men.
Yeah,
the two Tolkien white men.
That's such a terrible pun.
It's a terrible joke.
Okay, so I think that wraps things up. Sen, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every morning on twitch.tv/SenRaven for. Marvel Strike Force gameplay, a little bit of Marvel Snap gameplay when I get around to it, a little bit of Mech Arena, something else. It basically translates to Mars, which I'm kind of hooked on that game. It's been a lot of fun. And a few other things here and there, you know, Smite and Spider-Man. And I got a code for Food Truck Simulator, so I got to figure Ooh. Out a time to actually run that one because they sent me a code. I should play the game.
Yeah. Nice. I can be found everywhere on Twitch, not on Twitter, because I am still permanently suspended from Twitter for some reason.
Hey, for $8, you can get an authenticated
thought about it. Account. Yeah. Instagram, TikTok. I've got a series of videos on there now. And you can follow me. Just search for VO by Kurt. And with that, we will see you next time. Maybe next weekend. Who knows? Have a good one.
Everybody.